You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day and another week. It hasn't been quite as exhausting and quite as volatile as last week, and that's because the last 3 days, certainly on the international side of things, have been to the upside. Today, slightly to the downside, but nothing like the sort of swings that we saw over the last week and the previous 2 weeks as well. With me to review the day and the week is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. It's sort of a sense of calm has come across the market, although we did see the biggest move since 1933 to the upside on Wednesday, I think it was. Or was it Tuesday? I can't remember.
Yeah, Lindsay, yeah, good evening. We're losing track here. Like a 3% move is like the new 1% move at the moment. And given the moves, I mean, you know, I guess difficult to expect the US market to carry on going after 3 days of gains and record moves and the biggest moves in 50 years and so on and so on. But a little bit, yeah, I guess a little bit of a pause. As I said, it was not a great day, but I mean, you know, we were down 4.7%, but that 4.7, I guess, is like the new 2. So it wasn't so bad. But, I mean, thin volumes, and I was trying to get some stocks off for some clients earlier on. And, I mean, the spread on one of the sort of mid-tiered stocks was 1% wide. You know, it's normally, you know, a quarter if you're lucky, or 0.15. It was literally 100 basis points wide. So I think a lot of people stepping back and liquidity again and being a bit of a problem, but as you said, it, you know, just not too wild, but it was just a steady grind lower as we ended what has been quite an extraordinary week, record-breaking week by some accounts.
Yes, indeed. There hasn't been much news out at all. I noticed that the House of Representatives is about to ratify the $2 trillion deal, which will then Mr. Trump will take his big pencil, his crayon, and someone will help him sign it.
His whiteboard marker.
Exactly. He's got a great signature, I must say. It's all over the place. It's brilliant. But yeah, he hasn't got great fine motor skills, I don't think. But he's going to sign it off, seriously, but we all know that. And now
his hands are so small as well. I don't know why he doesn't
little hands. Yeah, he says he's 6'3", but he's not 6'3". He's 5'11", and that's why his hands look a little bit smaller than his height and indeed his girth. Exactly. Let's not be nasty about our president. Okay, thank you very much. Let's have a look at the S&P before we go into this. S&P is only down 2.4% at the moment. We did say during the week that 2,500 was a big level. It vaulted through there yesterday and indeed today went to 2,632. If it comes back and goes back below 2,500, that is what I would call, or I'd like to call, a false break. But I don't think so. I think it's going to come back there and then stabilise. What do you think?
Yeah, so I mean, it had a go at it sort of a couple of hours ago when the news broke of Prime Minister Johnson having the coronavirus. And then his health minister, I believe, as well as deputy, something like that, also. That sort of spooked it, and the S&P took a spike down, traded down to about 2506. Briefly sat there, now it's grounded up as 2% higher. So it did try, but as we've seen recently, there seems to still be a bit of an impetus to buy the dip this week. And now we're seeing it breaking, as I speak, 2550, which is another key level. So sort of it's certainly outperforming the rest of the markets. Because, I mean, if you look at what London FTSE and a few of the other local markets did, it was they fared a lot worse than what we're seeing in America now.
FT headlines, I would say, are the best ones, the most responsible. They can be a little bit right-wing. Stocks lower as investors bank profits from Wild Week. I don't know how they say that investors are banking profits. How do they know that people aren't going short? But anyway, that's up to them.
Well, how do they know they didn't buy a year ago?
Yeah. Exactly, and they could be banking losses. Boris Johnson tests positive for coronavirus. BlackRock says the following. Fed's big boost for BlackRock raises eyebrows on Wall Street. Oh, that's interesting. In other words, the Fed giving money to a major, well, the world's biggest fund manager. I spoke to a chap from BlackRock this morning, actually, and that'll be out next Wednesday. I can only put it out next Wednesday. But I spoke to BlackRock this morning. House rushes to reconvene for $2 trillion stimulus vote. We just spoke about that. Coronavirus latest. Lockdown eases air pollution in Europe. I've been trying to get hold of Sir David Attenborough. It's impossible. I can't even get hold of his agent. You need to get hold of his agent's agent in order to get hold of David Attenborough. Because I think it's a really good story. I mean, as an antidote for what we talk about every day, to talk about the upside of coronavirus, which is, you know, the pollution and everything, and the fact that animals, as soon as the humans are gone, are going to take over cities. But anyway, let's have a look at You can tell it's a Friday, can't you? Let's have a look at the markets. What was the mood on the JSE today? Not so great.
No, it wasn't a great mood. I think a lot of people battling to get on the JSE, or a lot of traders trying to set up from home and certainly not used to it. We saw liquidity drying up quite a bit, but the banks today, I guess, is the standout. I mean, you're taking a huge rubbing. Not sure ahead of. I mean, it's been kind of lost in all the noise, but we do have a certain rating agency reporting tonight.
And as I said, of course, it's the 27th, isn't it? Yes,
correct. So literally amongst all the noise ahead of Moody's, that's usually quite late, so let's not hold our breath, probably later on this tonight, but
yes,
they are expected to give their ratings review. And, you know, amongst all the noise we've had this week, and obviously far more, I guess, almost deemed more important stories, but if they do downgrade us now, they will be the final rating agency that's had us on an investment grade rating, and that would lead to a reasonable large chunk of outlay of investors who aren't allowed to invest with a three-tiered, effectively, a sub-investment grade country. And I wonder if we haven't seen a little bit of that already in the last few days with the South African Reserve Bank having to step in with those bond yields blowing out the rand a little bit weaker, and then reflected once today, of course, with some of these banks anywhere between, you know, Capitec down 17%, Absa's down 11%.
Oh,
these are big. These are extreme moves for a fairly, I guess, a calmer day. Those are big news in the financials.
I would have thought exactly the opposite. If you'd have said, Lindsay, is it a plus or a minus? Capitec 17, Absa 11. I would have said, after the last 3 days, I would have said, actually, no, because the last 3 days have been up. So, yeah, probably I would have said a down. But anyway, we'll talk about the value traded later on. But let's have a look at the currencies markets. Ahead of that all-important Moody's rating decision, which is probably in around about an hour's time, I would say, certainly after the market closes at 6 o'clock. Dollar rand, 17.53. British pound against the rand, 21.55. Euro rand, 1.2% weaker for the rand against the euro, 19.33. The euro dollar, 110.25. That dollar again coming under pressure. I wonder what that's all about.
Have a look at cable.
Yeah, let's have a look at the cable. It's 120. Let's call it 123, shall we? And that was 114 and a half a week ago.
Yeah, so that's a 7 cent move in a week. It's a huge move for one of the top six traded currencies in the world.
It really is. Dow Jones at the moment down 3.2%. S&P down 2.8%. Maybe a little bit less. It's just rallied in the last 5 minutes since my screen is updated. Nasdaq down 2.8%. FTSE down 5.8%. DAX down 3.5%. Yeah, that's a big one on the FTSE. Maybe it's to do with Boris, but I think Boris is fine. I saw a video call of his, and he seems all right. I think he drinks enough to ward off any coronavirus. 4.6 down for the CAC 40 on the commodities markets. The gold price holding steady. It's only down 7 to 16.24. I would have thought with the weaker dollar it might be up there. But anyway, 16.24 will take. I think next week it's going to have an assault on the new high for the year, a multi-year high, actually, 1700. That's my tip for next week. The platinum price is 738, which is unchanged. And palladium is what? Nick Kunzer.
Getting a bit of a smack today, down 3.25, $76, $2,255, double five.
Talking about being smacked, 8.1% down for the oil price. Brent crude oil, $24.69. The sensitivity is definitely to the downside. It goes up, it goes up, it goes up when there's risk on, when there's risk off. Goodness me, this thing comes down quickly.
Definitely. And I mean, it's a little bit, I've been scratching around to try and find some news flow today. There was one or two sort of snippets about Russia speaking to the Saudis and then denied. And then apparently Mr. Trump was speaking about sending off a delegation to meet the Saudis. You've got this sort of a bit of a round robin between OPEC and all these other different people running around. And once again, they seem to get nowhere. So as soon as each story came out, progressively denied that the oil prices continue to fall. Incidentally, I've got a sort of a Friday fact of the day which I came across, which I didn't even realize.
Go on, then.
What do you think the best traded commodity? So, what is up the most as a traded commodity this year?
Rhodium.
Best performing commodity.
Rhodium. No. Okay. Orange juice.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, apparently, a massive crushed orange juice or frozen orange juice.
Frozen concentrated orange juice, FCOJ. Correct. I used to trade it.
Well, there we go. Well done. I didn't realize that. And it was actually, it's up 26% year to date as traders have been talking about an absolute rush into the contract because of everyone wanting to get their immune systems going. So add that to, remember to add that to your David Attenborough story.
You know, what a load of rubbish. Get short of that thing anytime you like. It's like saying, you know what the biggest traded contract at the moment is? Toilet paper futures. You've got to get into them. It's going to fall in a heap, of course.
But isn't it? It's a nice sort of conversation in that, you know, in all this turmoil and noise, you know, things go up and things go down, and we have this big interconnected world. Somewhere, someone is making a profit out of something somewhere. And in this particular case, as oil collapses, as the most world traded commodity is getting absolutely smashed, are quietly in the corner, frozen concentrated orange juice is up 26%. There we go.
You used to trade FCOJ on the CSCE, which was the cocoa, sugar, and coffee exchange. Coffee,
sugar. It was all the softs, wasn't it, in Chicago?
Exactly, the CSCE. And it was very, very thin. And if you watch a film called Trading Places...
Everyone who's probably listening to the show has probably watched it a few times.
Definitely. I mean, apart from the ending, which was silly with the false gorillas and everything and getting shipped off to the Congo or whatever. Stupid ending. But it was such a good film. And they were waiting for the... his name was Clarence Beeks. Do you remember the chap? The villain was called Clarence Beeks, and he opened up the Department of Agriculture crop estimates, and it was the orange juice report that was the one where Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd made their money. It was so fantastic.
It was a famous film. We used to say on the trading floor, it was one of those films that, you know, along with like Liar's Poker, which everyone read, and most people had watched Trading Places.
Yes.
And it was a wonderful scene between Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd a few times at the end when he says, you're looking good, Billy Ray. And he goes,
feeling good, Lewis. You know what I'm going to do tonight, don't you?
Download that.
I'm going to watch that anyway. What are we doing?
Yeah, so anyway, so there's a little stat. So, you know, commodities, you know, once again, besides oil, the commodities are certainly all over the place at the moment, along with the rest of the world. Up and down all over. Historical week.
And I can say this on a Friday night, up and down like a horse draws. Okay, let's have a look at what happened on the JSE today. My sound engineer will, of course, remove that. Let's have a look on the JSE today, exactly what happened on the upside and the downside. And the upside, I've got the best performing share on the JSE Securities Exchange and 10 Rand higher than its lows of last week. 32.17 is the prevailing price. 11.2% higher, Sasol. That's what I've got. Italtal up 10.3%. Got something here called Textainer. I don't know what that is, but anyway, 4.25% up. Oceana up 3.2%, and Glencore, more importantly, probably up nearly 2.5%. On the downside, ouch. 8.50 is the share price. The name is Capitec, and the price is down 17.78%. Goldfields down 15.3%. Resilient down 15.2% after their announcement this morning. AngloGold Ashanti down 14 1/3, and RMB down 13 3/4. These moves are becoming routine. We'll be bored in the weeks and months to come where it's 1.2%
or at this rate, they're going to zero. I mean, 12% today, it doesn't take that long to get down to nothing. But really big moves. And on a fairly, as I said, it was almost like a bit of an uneventful day. And yet, if you sort of scratch through a little bit on the top 40, there's some monster moves to the downside. And as I say, I wonder if there's a lot of, maybe there's people just taking a position ahead of that Moody's tonight, because even though people argue that it might be factored in, I'll tell you now, if they do downgrade us tonight, there will be a knee-jerk reaction when the markets open on the early hours of Monday morning.
Yeah, so a nervous weekend for bond and RAND traders, I would imagine.
Definitely.
Did you hear the podcast or the broadcast of the CEO of Edcon, who was actually quite emotional about the fact that Edcon has essentially gone to the wall?
I did, actually, because we have a Friday slot with the particular show, The Money Show. One of us each take a turn each Friday. And it was actually, I think it was the day before, and someone was talking about it. But it was actually, it was quite extraordinary. But I think, is that the first of maybe more? But we are not in a position where you can let that many jobs go, and they literally do not have the money to pay workers. They're going to battle.
Yeah, what I quite liked about it was the fact that he actually obviously is very committed to the business and doesn't like what's going on. On the other hand, what I don't like is the fact that Edgars has been on a respirator for so many years, and why didn't let it go and turn off the respirator a long time ago? Because it's a rotten store, let me tell you.
Didn't the PRC throw some cash at them too? I could have sworn they did.
Throwing cash at everything else, so why not Edgars? I don't know, but
I do seem to remember. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've always been on the edge. You know, they've always been, and ever since the standalone sort of brands in South Africa, you know, the Levi's and the sort of the other sort of high street names decided they could basically put up their own store and they didn't need to go via an Edgars. I think the writing was on the wall, but they never adapted and never changed. And unfortunately, in this day and age, especially in the retail space, it's very fast changing. I mean, the bottom line these days, it's, I know this for a fact in some of these retail houses, if you don't have an online presence as a retailer, you're dead. And the last time I checked, they don't even have one.
Yeah, I went to Edgar's at the Century City, I think it was, or whatever that shopping centre is there, just as you go up the N1 out of Cape Town. And I must admit, it wasn't a pleasant experience, and it should have gone a long time ago. I'm sure the CEO is a fine fellow, and all the people that work there are, but whoever designs the stores and does the buying, I'm sorry, not for me, thank you very much. Give us the closing indices on this Friday at the end
of
the week.
Yes. I just want to have a giggle before we do that. There's a couple of tweets coming across from Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Who is basically tweet slamming Ford. He's tweet slamming General Motors.
Why?
They shouldn't be making cars. They should be making ventilators instead.
And he's the one that was saying 6 months ago that they should be making more cars because they're better cars than the Germans and the Japanese and the South Koreans, etc.
Trump says General Motors must immediately, in inverted commas and of course, must immediately open their closed plant in Idaho or any other plant to start immediately making ventilator production. Which naturally you can turn a car manufacturing business into a ventilator overnight on a shuttered factory quite easily.
I saw an interview with the CEO of Ford the other night, actually, and he was really, really articulate and really erudite. And he explained exactly what they're doing with 3M and exactly what they're doing in collaboration with General Motors. He was really clever, which is exactly the opposite of the fellow that you just mentioned, because that fellow that you just mentioned, and I can't even bring myself to say his name, on January the 23rd, when one person was diagnosed with the coronavirus in Washington State, in the northwest of the United States of America, he said, "We've got it under control. There's no problem here." Now it's the epicenter of the whole viral spread.
And I think last counts, I mean, if you look at some of these, the John Hopkins, one of these online map interactive maps, I think they're the highest, and I think they've overtaken China with a number of
They have people. Indeed. If he was a CEO, he would have either stepped down or there would have been a vote of no confidence in him. He would have been removed from the board. It's extraordinary that he's still in power.
Anyway, all right, let's go through these
indices.
Numbers.
Let's
wrap up this week. Okay, after the end of what has been a historic week on a number of accounts, the JSE All Share finishing on a bit of a splutter, unfortunately, down 4.66% in the All Share, 2,099 points down, 42,946 the number, and top 40 down 4.71%, 1,938 under 40,000 again, 39,172, and there really is nothing in the green to report. Only the best performing worst stock was healthcare's, which only dropped 0.69%, energy down 0.81%, telecommunications down 1.72%, and they were led low. By the financials, had a torrid session on the JSE, down 8.43%, and utilities also dropping 10.26%.
Wow. Not good at
Value
all.
Value traded $32 billion today, so another chunky day.
Very good indeed. Probably average over the last 2 weeks has been around 28 to $30 billion, I would say. How was your first day? When I say the first day, I mean, you know, the first day of the lockdown.
First day holding a lockout. I actually quite enjoyed it. There was a little bit of teething problems. Of course, you're relying on – you don't have a big sort of pipe coming in of high-speed broadband like I do at the bank. But Seemed to hold up okay. I mean, we had a up and down. I think a lot of people, I think, are working from home at the moment in this lockdown. So we had a couple of emails from various broadband suppliers talking about, you know, keeping things up and running. They're battling with the demand. So besides that, it was actually okay. Forwarded the phone from work. That worked like a treat. Cell phone was ringing quite. Had a few clients calling in, a few trades going on. So it was actually okay. The only problem is I've got to actually figure out.
Yeah, go on.
I've got to put a lock on the fridge. It's difficult.
Eh? Are you getting a bit chubby there, Kunze?
I'm going to be very chubby. They're going to roll me out of here when the lockdown expires. Eh?
Yeah, you know what you do?
Definitely not going
this is very, very simple. You buy nuts and you buy fruit and you buy low-fat cheese, all that sort of thing, cottage cheese and
you mean that one kg of salami sticks with cheese and chive dips was not the way to go?
Yeah, no, and then okay. The six sticks of chorizo and that sort of thing. No, you don't want that. Anyway.
Okay, next week I'll move on to peanuts. Okay, done. Okay.
Anyway, God did something very different on his first day. According to Genesis, which is the first bit of the Bible, it says here, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This is your first day. You didn't achieve as much as God did. But goodness me, tomorrow what I'm going to do on my website, incidentally, is start to give you recipes that will give you boundless energy and also boost your immune system. But that is my first day pronouncement. Day two is on. Actually, it won't be day two on Monday, will it? It'll be day four on Monday.
Yeah, we'll already be 17 days to go on Monday. Yeah, so quick, before you know it, it'll be over.
Nick Kunze, thanks so much for your contribution this evening and all week. And we'll be back on Monday. Nick Kunze is from Sandown Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Back on Monday with the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.